change everything from the way we do business to the way we learn. How much construction has been done?
We haven't had to do any construction, actually. Mostly it was just getting servers to host all of these audio files and then software to be able to deliver the podcast to the listening public.
And where does a satellite fit in?
There's no plan to use satellites at the moment.
For more information, visit citr.ca/podcast. Thank you for listening, and please be kind to robots.
Hello, you are listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, and you are proudly listening to a show that has been specifically designed to help you find work you love fast. And every week we deliver on that content. I know we do because you're so excited to hear from us, and it's as a result from all the calls that you give to us, and so we're so excited to have you on the air again. And we have one heck of a guest. And of course, I'm not going to introduce him just yet, but I want to tease you with the idea that you're going to hear from a gentleman that has been and seen everything. And he's not only going to share the best of the best, but he's actually going to reveal to you some secrets that I'll get out of him by my closing questions. He doesn't know what it is yet, but what I always like to do is get from the guest the most powerful information so we can transmit it over to you so that you know that the half an hour you're spending with us is of wonderful value. And of course, right now, what I'd like you to do is go tell your friends and your family, call them up and say, you got to listen to the show because it'll knock them dead. Okay. Great. Okay, good. What am I going to talk about first? I usually cover the top two questions that I receive in a week from people about their careers. But because I want to hear from this guest, I'm looking forward to it so much, I don't want to cover these two questions. So I'm going to skip that. But of course, I call it the top two. Every week we have a top two. Quote of the week. You're going to love this one. I had an individual in my office about an hour ago, and I have a picture of a river, and at the top, it says the path of least resistance. And it said, this is the way to find work you love, the path of least resistance. And she said, well, what does that mean, the path of least resistance? I said, I discovered that in order to do what you love, you must always follow the path of least resistance. But then she said, but what about the saying, no pain, no gain? And then I figured it out. You must only, here's the thing, it's a big concept. You have to listen to this. To choose what you want to do for the rest of your life, you must follow the path of least resistance. So if you're naturally interested in people, then you got to work with people. If you're interested in data, work with data. If you're working with your hands, work with your hands. But once you've decided to work with people, data, or things, you must then do the work required to do it, right? No pain, no gain. You got to put in the effort. So sometimes a student will come up to me and says, oh, I quit. I don't want to do it. Well, I try and find out if they really are motivated by what they want. And if they do, then I got to say no pain, no gain. I mean, that's what life is. You got to put in the effort, but the rewards are great. But if you hate where you're going and you hate the process, well, I'll tell you, that is a heck of a tough way to live. And I wouldn't wish that upon anyone. So that's our quote of the week. So the quote of the week is this: follow the path of least resistance when it comes to choosing the career for you. Oh, so exciting. Okay, great. So I am ready to introduce you to our wonderful guest. His name is Tony Bark. He's a partner at Deloitte, and he specializes in, I don't even know where to start, auditing, accounting, financial service advice, consults with some of the largest companies in the world. He's also an expert witness, which is rather interesting. Tony, are you there?
I'm there, Philippe.
Okay, good. Nice to have you here. So thank you for being with us.
Nice to be here.
So maybe I should tell the guests why you're here. I actually heard you speak recently to a group of students on the subject of interviews. And folks, don't run away just yet. Every single book talks about interviews. Every single career counselor will tell you about interviews. But this interview is going to be very different because we're going to be talking about interviews. And within that framework, you're going to find out how to be yourself guaranteed. That's the premise of today's show. Always being yourself when it comes to presenting yourself to employers, and we'll also get to know a bit about Tony. So Tony, first of all, why in the first place were you ever interested in presenting to students, and why do you do that?
My business, my whole working life is full of students. I was a student. I guess it makes me feel young when I interact with them. I live off the energy from them, and I don't know. Ultimately, I'm successful in what I do if I can find lots of people to replace me.
Oh, so you're always looking for your replacement.
Well, you could put it like that.
Well, obviously, they're not a direct threat. Okay, great. So you're very interested. And so recently, this presentation that you gave was at, and I understand you're involved with many universities. Is that right?
I speak to a few.
Okay, so So you're really interested in giving back to the universities because many times students, you end up recruiting from those places. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so for the listener out there, if you're not at a university, don't run away just yet. The idea is the subject matter is the student, but the context is broad-minded, and it can cover many areas. And so first of all, Tony, let's just jump right into it. Right before the show went on, we were talking about how it's about finding a fit. And you have this very interesting technique of finding out, or sometimes you figure out if it's a good fit or not, and you have these little things, techniques that you do. Share us how it works for you.
Okay. Let's give you a little vignette. This is a classic. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen as many times as you might think it does, but it does happen. There are two or three days in September I'll spend up on various university campuses. And we're looking, as a firm, and there are other firms like ours, for 40 or 50 grad students to join us every year. And so I would see in a day 8 to 10 undergrads or people coming to the end of their 3 to 4 years. And I've done that for many, many years. So I've seen a lot of this. But a bad interview can often start like this. Somebody will come in, they'll sit themselves down. I'm already starting to get a feeling. And before I'm 2 or 3 minutes into the interview, what I'm getting from the student in response to some fairly innocuous beginning questions, these are the settle down, get comfortable type questions, but I'm already getting a feeling in 2 or 3 minutes, I'm getting what the student wants me to see. I'm getting an image, a sort of picture that they would try and paint for me because they think that's what I'm looking for.
But isn't that what you want?
Absolutely not. I want the real person. I want the person. I want to see what they've got. I want to see what drives them.
Hold on, Tony, but what if the real person doesn't really want that job?
Well, it's not going to work out then, is it? Because I know what's successful in my business. I know the qualities that I want to see and find in people. I know the skill sets I'm looking for. And it only works. We'll only have a good career together and a good match with that person if I'm seeing what they really are. Mm. Because if I offer them a job because maybe I did get fooled by a presentation they thought I wanted, maybe I did, they're not going to have a happy career because they haven't got the qualities that I was really seeking. It won't work out for them.
Oh, wait, Tony, that's a very interesting point, Tony. So if they were to totally fake it and totally psych you out and you totally believe it and you hired them, in the end, they don't win because they hate it. You hate it. It's a bad match. Is that right?
That's right.
So what's the answer? So, okay. So how does a candidate know? How does a candidate go in and with you and be natural? What's your suggestions?
Well, first of all, I mean, we always try and settle a candidate down. A good interviewer is always going to lead off with some fairly comfortable questions that people can feel comfortable answering. It's to establish the sort of beginning chemistry with you and them in the room. And one of the things I've often done if I've found somebody that I can tell is a little bit nervous and apprehensive that I believe it could affect them, I'll tell them to imagine that we're maybe just sitting outside in the sun on a bench. They're having a sandwich, I'm having a Pepsi or something, and just tell me about themselves. Or maybe I'll pick any question just to get them into a mindset that will make them feel comfortable, that they're not on display, they're not on stage. We're just going to have a conversation because I need to learn about them.
Right. Very, very interesting. You know what? Something just came to me, Tony, and I want the audience to know. I'm going to build you up a bit right here. I just have to do something. Tony is not in HR. Tony is a decision maker, and he's on the air talking about how he reaches out to students and people in terms of hiring. Isn't that interesting? One of the things we talk a lot about on the show is approaching decision makers to find opportunities to work in companies. Now, you have to do it the right way, in a professional way, or else you'll piss everyone off. But if you do it the correct way, polite persistence, we always call it on the show, you will and you can have success. Very interestingly, many of you say to me, no, we can't go to the decision maker. Well, here's a decision maker talking to you right now over the air. So listen right up. And by the way, a partner, you can't go any higher in a company. And Deloitte's one of the largest in the world, so we're very fortunate to have them. I just had to plug you a bit there. Build your credibility. So I say this once in a while. The information you're hearing now is free, but if you don't use it, what's the cost in your life? What is it costing you? Is it costing your career? Is it costing your family, your relationships, because you hate everything you're doing? So that's what it is. It's on behalf of helping you do what you love. Okay. By the way, before I forget, expert witness. What is expert witness work? Tell me about that.
Okay, it's interesting. I mean, let me go back. I can give you a quick 1 minute on how I got to do what I do today.
Oh, please.
And I actually loved your quote, path of least resistance. In a sense, that's how I come to where I am today. Mm. I actually read law at university, believe it or not. People get staggered. Okay. What am I doing? How come I'm an accountant right now? I read law. But in an idle moment when I should have been studying and wasn't, I actually got a scholarship opportunity to the University of Washington in Seattle. And I had a great time. It was a wonderful experience. I actually came up to UBC during that year I was there and had a lot of fun. And I made a commitment to myself that one day I was going to come back and work here. Figured out pretty quickly that lawyers don't travel that well. They don't. It's hard. I found in Canada that actually going from one province to another is pretty tricky, let alone going from one country to another.
Got it.
But what I did find out was CAs, accountants, actually move. You can actually transfer across the world. It's not very difficult. So I made a quick decision when I went back to finish my law degree in England. I was going to take a few electives in business and accounting and things like that. So I was going to move into the CA program. So there's an example of me deciding that travel and working in the Northwest somewhere in North America would actually only work if I could, instead of being a lawyer, I would become a CA. So path of least resistance, I guess I was following a travel bug and turned into a CA. The rest sort of is history. But let's fast forward a second. I read law originally and I was interested in law. So eventually I was a CA. I was a CA in Canada, doing lots of accounting and auditing and financial advisory and so on. But I gravitated to spending quite a bit of time with lawyers. This was in Calgary a few years ago, and they started asking me, can I do some work for them? And the work that I started doing for lawyers in Calgary, because I liked spending time with lawyers, it was sort of fun, and they recognized my skills, was actually going and preparing damage quantification claims and matters like that to go into court and appear on behalf of their clients as an expert in quantification of damage. And that's led to 12, 15, 16 years of really neat, interesting work in a courtroom.
Wait, Tony, very, very interesting. So even though you didn't pursue a full career in law, it was your law degree that helped you connect with these lawyers that eventually led you to this work as a witness, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, I want to, before we're about to go to break, I just want to mention this great speaker. He runs the Center for Entrepreneurial Excellence at McGill University. And he gave a talk recently called Successful Mistakes. I loved it. And it was the idea behind running a business or entrepreneurship or actually running your life is that whenever happens in your life, even if you think it's a mistake, it turns into a positive. And so Tony might say, well, listen, I spent all this time in law. I wasted my life. Look what happened. It turned into something positive. One of the interesting examples a guy used was a nitroglycerin. It was designed for originally for some kind of surgery, and it ended up being an ingredient for a bomb. So it was a mistake in that it led to a bomb, but now it's not the number one. People use it for heart transplants, so we couldn't use it without. So very interesting what happens from mistakes, and I love it. Okay, back. Listen, we're back with Tony Bark from Deloitte, partner Deloitte, after the break. During the break, we are going to have something called the Rapid Fire Q&A. It's an opportunity for you to call the show. We might be able to take your calls. We might not. I don't know. But here's the number. 604 is the area code. 822-2487. 822-2487 is the number to call during the break. You got about 40 seconds, and then we'll be back with Tony after the break.
So you want to gain the freshman 15? Well, you probably will. So why not gain it ethically? Sprouts. The student-run, not-for-profit grocery store is now open in the lower level of the UBC Student Union Building across from Travel Cuts in the Wellness Center. Sprouts is committed to providing the UBC community with healthy, locally produced, organic, and fair trade products at great prices. Sprouts will be open from 9:30 to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. So you want to tag a ride on the sustainable gravy train? Sprouts is now looking for volunteers to help out with tabling, outreach, and at the storefront. So just drop by and pick up your application.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And this is a show specifically designed to educate and inspire you to land your dream job. I want to reveal an imperfection. I notice that I do things to always look good, and I'm always afraid of looking bad. And on the show, I can't get into the computer and turn the music on that says, I got a job, na. And so it's my mistake, but I'm admitting it. And just before the break, we were talking about successful mistakes. And so apparently I'm going to learn from this mistake of not having the radio on. But what I want to, the reason I share that with you is because you're going to make lots of mistakes in your job search and your dream job search and finding work you love. I'm telling you. And Tony, I'm sure he's seen a lot of that experience. And during the break, we were talking about what we should talk about after the break. And we said, well, we can go anywhere. Well, I'd like to really just explore this further. Tony, while I'm just thinking here, is there anything that you, that's come to mind now that you just want to share that's top of mind, or where are you at?
I've got my own family, my own growing children who come to me sometimes with the same kind of comment that I hear a lot of times, especially when I do a high school career type class as well. But it also happens with some of my own professional people who are 2 or 3 years into a CA program. Let's face it, they've worked really hard to get that far. Secondly, they've spent hours studying for professional exams, and they'll still sometimes come to me and say, well, what if it? I'm not sure what I should be doing. What if I don't know this is for me yet? What do I do? And so I'm going to give you a couple of sort of types of thoughts that I have when I'm presented with that.
Please, I love it.
So, I mean, the first thing I do oftentimes, especially with somebody that's just beginning this process of, well, where am I going and what am I going to do, is, well, there must be a whole host of things you already know you don't want to do. There are things you don't like and you're not good at and you know that's not going to be you. Well, get hold of those, even write them down. That's quite helpful sometimes, and put them aside. And then let's start taking a look at what you're left with. And one of the, even if somebody has never had a job before, one of the things I'd often start there with is, okay, put aside what you don't want to do. And let's talk about what excited you in the last 12 months of your life. What kind of things did you have a real fun doing? Or even take the last week at school you just had. What was the best part of it? What was the most exciting thing you did? What was fun? And start hearing about some of those ideas. It's amazing when people, and I could jot down 3 or 4 words that they give me, and then when they finished, we'll show them the 3 or 4 words, and I say, look, you've just told me 4 or 5 things that you should be seeking in your job search, and you should be eliminating things that don't meet, you know, things that don't meet any of them should immediately be added to that I don't want to do that list. And then something that's got 2 or 3 of them on, I bet you there's probably only 3 or 4 or 5 kind of career directions you could take that would actually give you all 4 of those words we've just got down there.
Does that really work?
It can do. It can do. But it, what it does is start people thinking forward to where they're headed and dismissing things that clutter them and clutter their thinking and cloud their thinking. It can be incredibly overwhelming when you've just got, you actually haven't begun any kind of focused direction. So I just challenge people just begin like that if they really don't have anything.
Okay, Tony, I want to just summarize what you said there because it's so powerful, and so that the listener who's taking notes as well can jot down a few things. So sometimes you don't know what you want, but Tony says, look at what you don't want. And when you write them down, sometimes at the end you say to yourself, oh, I don't want all these things. Well, what's left? And you look at those things, and often it's not that many, but once you've written them down, you start to identify them. And this is what's really interesting. What I heard from when Tony was saying, don't look at the obstacles, but look at where you're going. Because it's so easy, and I can admit to this, it's so easy to look at what's holding you back or what the barriers are before even getting started. But if you start talking about what you want and where you're going, then you start creating a vision. And I always call that like a suspension bridge. If you're at the end, the bridge is anchored, it's a vision, and the steps to get there are your goal. But if it's not anchored on the other side, you're walking on a bridge that has no anchor and you're just toast. You've got nothing going on there. Tony, has there ever been an individual, I want to create a prestige thing right now. I get all excited. Like, was there an individual that really you talked to and you mentored or you guided, or was there ever a student that went above and beyond, or some kind of bright light that you've seen in your experience? Somebody that really just took it upon, maybe it was somebody that you didn't work with. Maybe it's somebody you work with at work at Deloitte or another partner somewhere, another firm, someone that just their career really stood out for you and they shone.
I would say that for me, mentoring has been a collection of sort of wiser people, and they've all had different bits that they've given me. I can recall an older partner many, many years ago in Calgary who in the course of my career, there have been years where you've had to really invest more than you ever really wanted to in terms of your time and commitment to get to the next stage. It's hard work, as you said. You said, you've got to put out sometimes to get where you want to go. This would have been one of those phases. And I'll never forget some very sound words from somebody saying, reminding me that I always had to try and keep myself in balance because, and I would urge many others, it's been great for me through my career to remind myself when you start getting into those awful stress moments that sometimes seem to last forever, you sometimes can't see your way out the other end. I always remember these fabulous words from an older partner. He said, it's just a very basic comment, but he said, remember, Tony, when you're not at your desk doing that horrendous task that you can't seem to see a way out of, the walls won't fall down just because you're not there. And it saved me time and again. And that's a great piece of advice. So there was an example of an individual on a sort of stress moment who found me some words that I've managed to live by ever since.
So you find those words actually cross your mind once in a while?
Yes, they do.
Interesting.
And I repeat them to many other people just as I've done just this moment.
That's fantastic. There's a technology called NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, and it's a way of changing your state so that you become effective very, very fast. Some people talk about going to a psychologist to look at your past, but NLP technology talks about how to look at the present and change your state immediately. And one of them is mental syntax. And that is the words that cross your mind. They did this wonderful study and they asked like Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus and Magic Johnson, what are the words they say to themselves in their brain right before they shoot the ball or take the putt? And it's amazing, their mental syntax. It's amazing what they say to themselves. Many of them have one phrase that they always use, like Jack Nicklaus, roll, roll, plunk. That's all he would say to himself, roll, roll, plunk. And so I could totally see Tony sitting there saying, the walls aren't going to cave in, the walls aren't going to cave in. So you, the listener, if you're out there and you feel it overwhelmed, this is it, you're overwhelmed. You feel like there's no hope, you're really at your end, and you feel like the walls are closing in on you. According to Tony Barker, partner at Deloitte, they won't come crashing in. Won't come crashing in. So, Tony, anything going on right now for you? Or I was going to just ask about the interview, but was there anything first you want to mention?
Well, I've got a little story. It's probably
Please.
About a minute and a half.
Yeah,
you
go ahead.
For that?
Yeah.
This is a student, actually a UBC, quite a few years ago now. Wonderful student, wonderful human being, actually. Her name's Diane. I'm not going to go any further than that. And I actually haven't seen her for a long time. But she came and interviewed with me. It was the commerce program here. She wanted a CA. A CA takes 3 years, basically. And she started with us, but she wasn't doing terrifically well. So it was clear that CA, being a partner, being a manager even, wasn't something that was going to work particularly well for her. But all of a sudden, an opportunity popped up. And it was a little bit of a strange one for a CA firm to get. But it was actually running a town. This was a town. It was in a resource center that's now no longer in British Columbia. And the firm I was with at the time basically got a mandate from the provincial government to run the town. The
Wow.
town needed a town boss.
Okay.
This particular individual, Diane, just had it. And I knew she had it. She was decisive. She was great with people. She was very brave and bold, way beyond her years. And she had some basic analytical skills. She went up to that town for 9 months and became the town boss. She made decisions on when to close the fire department, when to order the airlift of supplies, when to sell houses, how to compensate people. Everybody looked to her for their checks. The gas station needed replenishing and so on and so on.
Wow.
Diane, 2 years out of UBC, ran the town for 6 to 9 months. And I would suggest that nobody else could have done it better than Diane. And I remember when she finished, she came back. She's 24, 25 years old. And I said to Diane, that is the highlight. I hate to say it. That's the highlight job for you. You need to go around the world selling yourself as being able to run a town and be a town boss. But it was perfect for her. She loved it. She was terrific at it. But unfortunately, there aren't many town boss jobs around. But she knew what she was good at. And I would have paid her more than anything else to continue doing that for the rest of her life, because that's what she was good at. It was her calling.
How was she able to make that shift? Because you know when sometimes you make up your mind you want to go a certain route, how was she able to give up on the old route and change her mind. That's not easy.
First of all, she was very, very lucky, in a sense, to be in the time and the place. I've got to say that was part of it. Having said that, if I go back to your opening, your quote, Path of Least Resistance, what would Diane have known? Diane would have known she was good at making decisions. She would have known that. Diane would have known there were moments where you have to work hard, so she was good at that. Diane would have known she wanted to get some kind of professional designation because it opened up a whole raft of jobs that somewhere in there was something she would know and love. So Diane, in a broad sense, when she graduated, took up with a CA firm, would have been broadly following her areas of interest. She would have dismissed a lot of things that wouldn't have interested her. She got very lucky very early to find what she was incredibly good at. As I say, the tough part of it is there aren't many of those kind of jobs around the world. But so Diane created, I suppose, being in the right time, the right place by following this broad pattern of skills and things she would have known she wanted without being specific to the being the town boss.
Got it. I love it. What I like even more than that is that you, I'm not blowing hot air here, but I am, but I'm not, whatever. See, the thing is this, to accept unconventional careers is a very tough thing. I find it takes courage to pursue what you love because really there's a lot of, like you might've said, well, why would I be a witness? I mean, that's so unconventional. Who does that? That's odd. That's weird. But you did it. And so you're not afraid to take risks. That's just something I see in you. You take a lot of risks in your career and you also support others in taking risk. That's great. I love that. Okay, listen, we're going on to our last break. It's going to be rapid fire Q&A over the break. It's the opportunity for you to give us a call. If you have any questions, we might or might not be able to take your calls. 822-2487 is the number. 604-822-2487. And when we come back, I'm going to be asking Tony the graveyard secret. And I will explain what the graveyard secret is in just a moment. We'll be back in about 35 seconds.
Thunderstorms, see the lightning flashing, thunderstorms.
Thank you for stopping that. If you actually want to learn more about weather, join the UBC Storm Club. For more information, email us at stormubc@gmail.com. Stop playing those cheesy songs and tune into News 101 Mondays and Fridays for your CITR weather forecast.
And we're back. You're listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And by the way, on the internet, www.citr.ca. And get this, if you miss the show, you can hear it in podcast, which means it's saved on the internet. And you can listen to every single show as many times as you want. You can even save it on your computer and listen to it on your computer in the middle of the night when you got nothing else to do. Okay? Because I know you're going to want to do that. We actually had one person say that they did that, so that's great. Okay, we're back with Tony Bark. And I mentioned before the break that I'm going to be asking him a graveyard secret question. At the end of every show, whenever I have a guest, I always ask them the graveyard secret question. What is a graveyard secret question? It is this. It's a secret to their success that typically they would take with them to the grave because it's so valuable to them. But because we're on the air and I'm asking, I hope, I'm going to pray, that right now he's thinking about a kind of secret that he would typically take to the grave, but because he's on the show and willing and so generous and willing to give it up, he's going to share this gem. And we've got about a minute and a half to hear his amazing secret. So, Tony, does anything come to mind?
Aha. Oh, you probably will hate me for this, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. I'm serving back. I'm lobbing back your serve.
Oh, no.
Basically, don't do it to my me. Graveyard secret has got to be, there are no secrets. There are no secrets whatsoever. My secret is you say everything, you ask everything, you tell everything. I said earlier my greatest thrill in my career, in a sense, is encouraging others and teaching others to replace me and do what I do now and do it better than I can do it. And the only way I can think of doing that is to share everything I know and how I know it with them as they come along. So my secret is that there are no secrets.
You know, what I hear from that is the word transparency, nothing to hide. And that's something that I notice when you consult or teach people in interviews. It's always nothing to hide. Just be open, share where you're at, and that's how you get the most value out of your time in an interview. Is that right? Transparency. I just love that. Okay, so you folks out there, there is a way to do work you love, be yourself, be self-expressed, and do the kind of things that you think and you know you're always born to do. And I always say this on the air, you know what you want to do. The question is, do you have the courage to pursue it? Tony Bark would say you do, and I say you do. So if we say it, come on.